Hello, and after far, far too long, welcome back to the Politics Unboxed podcast. My name is Reese, and today it is time to dive in to the Canadian federal election, because for the second time in just over 2 years, Canada goes to the polls to see if Justin Trudeau can force his way through to a majority government. So, with polls closing as I record this, it's time to have a look at the campaign. What were the big stories? And, well, who will be Canada's Prime Minister by the time all votes are cast? This is today's episode of the Global News Review on the Politics Unboxed podcast. We're back. So yes, after far, far too long, Politics Unboxed is finally back. I know I can hear the cheers of anticipation or perhaps groans of annoyance, but it is time to come and have a look at the first story of the second reboot, I guess, officially, of this podcast, which is going to be the Canadian federal election, and spoiler alert, it'll probably be tomorrow's as well if we get some changes and some results coming through. But this is the federal election, which was Monday, the 20th of September. Voters all across Canada going to the polls for, two votes. To vote once for their constituency and once for the region. So there are some list seats and some constituency seats. But it is time to see if the incumbent Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, can retain his post, because things are looking tight. So, for some background on it, in 2019, Justin Trudeau, the incumbent Prime Minister, was moving towards a federal election, which is their general election, where all the seats in the country go up for election, and he'd been Prime Minister since 2015, so he had a majority with, well, quite a sizable majority. He needed 170 seats in Canada for majority. He had a fairly strong working majority up to 177, which put him in government in 2015. In 2019, it was cut, and it was cut to leave him in a minority government. So he's coming into this election with 177 seats, down to 157 as of 2019. The Conservatives, who had been doing quite poorly under previous leaders, down to 95 seats, forcing them out of government in 2015, went up to 121 seats in 2019. And crucially, Justin Trudeau was unable to form that majority government. There were quite a lot of issues at stake in the last general election. Electoral reform, ensuring that things like 2015 was the last election held on the first past the post, which it has been so far, and fairly beige assessments of Justin Trudeau's government led to that sort of poor result for the incumbent Prime Minister. But he ploughed through. He made his way up onto staying as Prime Minister, even in a minority role, in 2019. No formal sort of official coalition arrangements made by the Prime Minister there in order to continue in government, just sort of staying around, only 13 seats shy of a majority, so not too far. He could hobble along, and still 46 seats clear of the Conservatives, who were then led by Andrew Scheer. Things have changed now, though. The snap election was called back, I think it was about a five-week campaign. It was not very long, one of the shorter sprint campaigns in Canada's history. And Justin Trudeau started the campaign with 155 seats at the dissolution of the last Canadian Parliament. Two of his members had, I believe, been removed from the whip and sort of removed from the party, really. The Liberal Party, which is Justin Trudeau's party, they are the Red Party in Canada. Interestingly enough, the opposites of the American system, who are just below them geographically. But Justin Trudeau, going into this as the Prime Minister, will be hoping to extend on that seat total. He only needs 15 seats for a majority, and there are plenty of seats up for grabs for him. 338 seats in the Canadian House of Commons. So now this has been bubbling away since the 15th of August, when the 43rd Canadian Parliament was dissolved, and back up and running again for the 44th Canadian Parliament after this general election. So Justin Trudeau, again, fairly beige, moving forward, forward for everyone is his campaign slogan. And of course, because it is a bilingual nation, there are two slogans per party, one in English, one in French. So forward for everyone, and avançons ensemble, or let's move forward together, is their French version. And it's, again, a fairly bland sort of, well, style of campaigning. Justin Trudeau has not been the most popular out and about. There was gravel thrown at him by protesters at one campaign stop over the course of this campaign. He's been booed, he's been heckled, and even his performance in the leaders' debates was not as scintillating as it had been before. That seems to have been his sort of key driving force. He has that charisma. He was voted as one of the sexiest world leaders back in 2016, 2017, I believe. But he seems to be losing that allure, really. Some of the shine has been taken off Justin Trudeau, as it is off most world leaders who go in with big promises. Back in 2015, Trudeau was all about shiny new change. He was the son of Pierre Trudeau, who was a very famous Canadian Prime Minister for the Liberal Party back in, I believe, the 70s and 80s. And that shine has been sort of eroded over the course of his time in government, as people sort of think, well, yeah, he hasn't quite been able to get that those things through, not all of them. He hasn't been able to fulfil on all of his campaign promises, but he has fulfilled on a fair few. So Bill C-44, which went to the Canadian Parliament about financing, again, those electoral reform bills. So he comes into this in a reasonable place in terms of personal ratings. But let's have a look at his main opposition, and it's the Conservative Party of Canada, so CPC, or the Conservative Party, who actually won the popular vote back in 2019, with 34% to Trudeau's party's 33% of the vote, but came out came out behind those Liberal parties. Candidates on seats because, again, of some of the constituencies, some of the regional lists, and, again, a bit of a weird system of voting in Canada, but it does work, and it is a darn sight more proportional than First Past the Post, which, for long-term listeners, you'll know I'm not the fondest of. But no, Erin O'Toole, who is the new Conservative Party leader and the official leader of the opposition. He's only been in post for just over a year, been serving since August 24th of 2020, and O'Toole is, well, he seems to be doing a decent job of rebuilding the Conservative Party. Now, the Conservative Party are not too far behind Justin Trudeau's Liberal Party. They only need 51 seats, up from 119 at the dissolution of the last parliament, to form that majority government at 170, that magic number. And it's not inconceivable that they will get there. Although, as you'll hear later, it's sort of in the realms of possibility for many parties to get there, but we don't think any party will get a majority this time around. We'll be looking for another minority, so that the point of calling the snap election will have been lost. The Conservative Party, they're fighting under the slogan "Secure the Future," or in French, "Agir pour l'avenir," act for the future. Which, again, you can see what they're trying to work. Erin O'Toole has shifted the party more moderate to try and sweep up some of the more conservative wing of Justin Trudeau's Liberal Party. He shifted the party's position on climate change specifically, which is one of those big things that have been holding back the Conservative Party ever since Stephen Harper, who was their last Conservative Prime Minister of Canada, was removed from office in 2015 under that massive win for Trudeau, or more accurately, a massive collapse for the Conservative Party. They have been in a rebuild, and they've been trying to find a message that cuts through. It looks like the Conservatives are finally finding their feet and really marking their way up to become a real challenger for the Liberal Party again, a real alternative for government, as any opposition party realistically should be, outside of a one-party state. Let's have a look at some opinion polling, because things have been shifting around, very much shifting sands for the opinion polling. And, on the 14th of August, so in the days before the election was called, the Liberals had a lead, probably around 6 or 7 points. We're looking at poll averages again. And again, take these with a pinch of salt, but do make sure to have a listen to them, because they do sometimes demonstrate trends. And I can see on the graph in front of me, the Liberals have sort of maintained there or thereabouts, about a 35% poll rating. Not great, if I'm honest. Not great, and not what you would want if you're trying to go into this election looking for a majority. The Conservative Party, starting just below 30 points in the opinion polls, actually overtook the Liberal Party for about a month, half a month to a month of the campaign, which is a sizeable chunk for a 5-week campaign. But they are still very much neck and neck with the Liberal Party. They've sort of closed up, so they've sort of met in the middle at around 33% each, give or take, and again, depending on sample sizes and weightings of different potential voters, then we can see variations within the veracity of some of these polls. But the Conservative Party have definitely closed that gap up. Any lead that Trudeau had at the start of this campaign, a reason why he might have called the snap election now, has gone. And it is very much going to be a close-fought campaign right to the end, which was yesterday. Now, in the pre-campaign period, the Liberals have maintained a fairly strong lead in some of these polls, up to about a 10-point lead in polls of around sort of May, June, July time. That had closed to probably about a 5-point lead from around sort of, I would say early January of 2021, May, June, July of last year. Sorry, I should have made that slightly clearer. But then we're starting to open up a little more of a gap as we got through into May, June, and July of this year. So you can see why Justin Trudeau would have thought that this was the time to go to the polls. It would appear, purely on opinion polling, that his gamble is not going to pay off. Now, if we're talking about a minority government, and it only makes sense to talk about some of the smaller parties who are going to become power brokers in the next Canadian Parliament. And the main party, the main third party rather, who will be crucial in some of the negotiations, is the Bloc Québécois, led by Yves-François Blanchet. They're starting with 32 seats. They only only campaign in Quebec, and they campaign on sort of Quebec nationalism. Had a very strong showing last time out in Quebec, obviously. Only getting 7% of the vote nationally, but getting 32%, not 32%, 32 seats out of 338, so sort of around the 10% mark for 7% of the votes, which is not bad at all. And they are really becoming that force in Quebec. The sort of very similar way to how we see the SNP in Scotland. Now, obviously, I could tell you their slogan, but the campaign slogan, there is no English one. They campaign solely in Quebec, which is the French-speaking part of Canada, and their slogan is Québécois, or Quebecers, people from Quebec. So a fairly simple message from the Bloc Québécois. They want more representation for Quebec, and at one point they will want Quebec to become an independent state away from Canada. Now, they aren't in with a shout of becoming the majority party, because they simply don't stand in enough seats, but they could become a power broker. Especially, you would think, if the Conservative Party of Canada get close to that majority and aren't quite there to push the push things over the top, they might be able to strike deals with them, although they do identify as centre-left, which is very much where the Liberal Party are. The Liberal Party, on sort of liberalism and social liberalism, would class themselves centre-centre-left. Bloc Québécois, they would probably class themselves as centre-left. But they are still not quite left enough to disavow deals with the Conservative Party. A party that definitely won't be getting into bed with the Conservatives if they are to get up anywhere near the majority level, although just watch me have to eat my words after tomorrow when the results come in, is the NDP, or the New Democratic Party, who stand for sort of social democracy and democratic socialism. They're very much centre-left and left-wing. They're led by Jagmeet Singh, who's the first Sikh leader of a major party in Canadian history. He's been their leader for... Well, he was their leader in 2019. I think he's been there since about 2017. Didn't have a particularly strong showing in 2019, but was very much hampered by a good showing from the Liberals in the regional votes, which was balanced out by their poorer showing in some of the constituency votes, which sort of robbed the NDP of some of those regional votes that they would have been getting had the Liberals been sweeping the constituencies. A very similar system to Scotland and Wales in their voting. If you get too many constituencies in an area, in order to balance out the proportionality, you end up with the ability to win fewer regional seats. But the NDP are looking stronger than they were. They ended up on, I think, about 15-16% of the vote in 2019, and now opinion polls are putting them in about the same area, but this weakened Liberal Party might well let them in a couple of constituency seats, and they can see some gains there. I have to say, again, the NDP won't be forming the next government on their own, but they could be an important power broker for the Liberal Party specifically, if, again, they need someone to help prop them up in government. The NDP running under the slogan Fighting For You, or Osse Ensemble, which is Dare Together, which is their French translation. And, again, they're fighting over many of the key issues that you'd expect social democratic parties to fight under: higher minimum wages, better representation, and better working and living conditions in Canada. Now, the last major party we're going to be talking about is the Green Party of Canada, who are fighting under the Be Daring, or Faites le Saut, Take the Leap slogans. Their leader is Anna-Mee Paul, running in Toronto. Hasn't been an MP in Canada before. They've only got two seats coming into this election, and again, they won't be forming the next government, but they could well be part of any informal conference and supply deals, things like that. Maybe even a formal coalition, who knows? We haven't seen one of them in Canada for a while. But I think we've talked about the parties, we've talked about their poll figures, we've talked about Well, talk about some of their campaign slogans. But what have they actually been fighting on? Well, as you would expect, in 2021, the response to the pandemic by the Trudeau government is very much front and centre in this campaign. And again, much with many different countries around the world, Trudeau has had his struggles with the coronavirus. There were notable spikes in Canada in 2020, none as high as, again, its neighbour to the south in America, but enough to plant some seeds of doubt in voters' minds. Trudeau will be hoping that the comparison, the strong comparison between Canada and America, will be enough to allay some of those voters' fears, but there are some, specifically if you go towards sort of the freedom unlock now styles of voters who will be moving away from the Liberal Party, and possibly a very vocal minority drawing some of the support of more moderates away from the Liberal Party. But it would be naive to suggest that this election is all about the coronavirus, although it will be a major, major point. Other ideas that have been banded around as sort of top issues in Canada: the cost of living, which has risen over the coronavirus pandemic, the NDP fighting very much to bring it down, every party fighting on a platform to try and bring down the cost of living in some way, shape or form. It's just a matter of how you would want it to be done. And then Canada's global standing on an international scale, which will not have been helped by the signing of the new AUKUS pact between Australia, the United Kingdom and the United States, which has notably left Canada out of the new security arrangements. So will Justin Trudeau pay a very short-term snap price for that that deal being announced so close to polling day? So those are some of the major issues. How about results? Well, none as I'm recording it now, none of the ridings are in yet. This is essentially the correspondent of a constituency, a riding, and it is, well, here we are. No results yet, but looking like we could be here for quite some while. Doesn't look like there's going to be a majority government. The polls would suggest not. Most smart money is on a minority. It all depends on the party with the largest vote share, unless there can be some backdoor coalition deals made to force one or another party leader into the office of Prime Minister. At the moment, Trudeau will probably be biting his nails, sitting very nervously on a sofa or pacing around a living room somewhere, or potentially even a campaign room, just thinking, crikey, this is going to be a close one. Erin O'Toole will be rubbing his hands with glee. He has a real chance of coming out of this as Prime Minister. It won't be as a majority, unless the polls have got it spectacularly wrong, but it is going to be tight. Whether or not Justin Trudeau stays, I think he will have a reduced minority if he stays in power, because the Conservatives will be looking to close up in this election, close that gap from about 35-40 seats to maybe 20-15. And that would be a good result for them, for a snap election called when the Liberals were ahead by 5 or 6 points in the polls. So that is what we've had a look at today, the Canadian federal election. If you have liked what you've heard, please do give us a like, give us a rating on wherever you find these podcasts. If you want to find more, then go onto our website, which is politicsunboxpodcast.wordpress.com, where you can find our entire back catalogue of podcast episodes. And if you want to find us on social media, you can. We are on Instagram at politics.unboxed, Facebook is politicsunboxed, and Twitter is at politicsu, that's the letter U. You can also get in touch via email, which is politics.unboxed@outlook.com. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you have enjoyed today's episode of the Politics Unboxed podcast. We will be back very much sooner than we were last time I said this. But thank you very much. I hope to see you all around again soon for the next one. And until then, goodbye.